Hi friends from all over the world, thank you and welcome again. Thank you for joining us on the Go Virtues podcast. It's Shireen and me here again with you to entertain you for another week. Hi Shireen.
Hi Richard, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Just always a pleasure to be here and have a chat.
Yes, and I hope everyone else is doing fine. I think the whole world is opening up a little more.
Yes.
Right? So that's yes. A good thing, right?
Yes, it is a good sign. I'm seeing a lot more positivity, coming out of it. I definitely see a lot of people that are able to see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit more in their conversations.
Yeah.
And I would like to acknowledge everybody for their courage, because that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
But their courage for sort of getting through, whatever has been there in the last 18 months. Things have been tough. I think COVID has definitely affected people at some level or another.
Absolutely. I think everyone has been very persevering and now very accepting of the situation. And like you said, now using a lot of courage to go out there and actually face what's there.
Yeah. No, those of you who are new to us, look, here we at Go Virtues, we discuss how together as parents and families, we can create an environment where we bring the best out of each other, and we bring the best not just out of children, but also out of parents, to have really wonderful, productive, loving, and long-lasting relationships with our families. They're supposed to age relationships, and they're supposed to get finer over time. That's the main idea, right?
Absolutely. And everything really starts from a very young age. So to parents, you know, even if you've got very young children or teenagers or even young adults, you know, what we generally talk about is so general that I think it can be applied across all ages and stages.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're going to be talking about courage today. And how we're able to manifest the virtue of courage at times where we may feel worry, or we may feel fear or anxiety to a certain extent. We'll be speaking about children from a young age up to teenagers, or even us as adults, and what fear and courage actually means to us. So like always, we're going to get ahead and start with the reading of the Virtues Reflection card on courage. And I'll start with the front side right now. So, courage. Courage transforms fear into determination. It is embracing life fully without holding back, doing what must be done even when it is difficult or risky. When we are tempted to give up, courage supports us to take the next step. It allows us to face adversity with confidence. Courage opens us to new possibilities and gives us the strength to sacrifice for what we love. At times, we need courage to accept the truth and to pick ourselves up after a mistake, ready to make amends and try again. Courage gives me the strength to make this journey with all my heart.
Wow, absolutely beautiful. I really love that last line, which says, courage gives me the strength to make this journey with all my heart. I think when you feel so loved, when a child feels very loved and accepted for what he is, and when you're encouraging him even though he's failing or making mistakes and loving him unconditionally, I think with that comes courage, don't you think so, Richard?
I agree. And you know, I like when we're tempted to give up, courage supports us to take the next step. Courage is quite strong. I feel, I don't know whether I can be correct in saying this, but I feel all the other virtues, somehow or another, I feel they start from courage. I mean, think about it. Let's say you need to be honest because you want to own up to a mistake. You need courage to do so.
Oh, yes.
You want to persevere. You want to be determined. Then you need courage to be determined, right?
Yep.
Let's say you need to detach because there are certain things in your life that are causing too much pain.
Yeah.
You need courage to take that step to say, I have to draw the line somewhere. So I feel courage is so important because I feel it's the starting point for so many of life's decisions.
Yes. And I think the biggest thing is you need to have courage to be yourself. you know, and have the courage to allow your child to be himself or herself. I feel a lot of parents are always, you know, I don't think they do this consciously, but they're very subconsciously comparing children with others, comparing siblings, just, you know, doing that all the time, not for any bad reason, but the intention is to get their children to reach certain benchmarks, you know, which they have classified as the best, or, you know, they've given these benchmarks to different areas in life, and they want their children to meet up this. And then they say, you know, why can't you do this like so and so? Or, you know, the minute children come home with a particular grade, even if they've got a 94, I've heard parents asking, hey, who got the highest? You know, so there's a tendency for parents to actually do that. So I think we need to be very intentional and just have the courage to be ourselves.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's probably where we can take our first topic as far as courage is concerned, is our expectations. I think a lot of fear comes from what we expect our child to be. Or to become, or how we expect them to behave, or what we need them to achieve. So a lot of it is wanting our child to fit a particular mold that we have created in our mind. You know, I always dreamt I'm going to have a child. I dreamt that my child is going to do A, B, C. This is what I had envisaged for him or her. And when they sort of don't fit into that mold, then, you know, our reactions sometimes may show them that not good enough feeling, or make them feel that not good enough feeling, right? And that's the reason why we need to say, what are we scared of? What are we fearful of? I mean, are we scared that they're not going to pass their exam? Are we scared that when we take them out, that they're going to react or not behave properly? You know, are we scared that they're not going to show the elders in the family common courtesy that we have grown up with? You know, there are a lot of fears that we have with, you know, as far as whether or not our children will achieve a particular standard.
Oh, yes.
So we need to, I think, and the way we react to it will in turn also have that transferability of that fear or even resentment.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, that this reminds me of the work of Dr. Jane Major, who is the author of Breakthrough Parenting. And in her research, she talks about there being just two primary emotions, you know, love and fear. And basically, when we come out of love, we are very centered. Because when you are feeling love, you automatically, you feel inspired, you know, you're accepting, you're motivated, you're happy, you're positive, and all of that. But the minute you come out of the center, you know, and just step out a little bit into that fear area, that black space around that, you know, center, then you're going to be demotivated, scared, you know, all the negative emotions, ashamed, afraid, upset, confused, all of that comes actually from the root emotion of fear. So, and you know, she very nicely describes this about fear, and she says that we as parents, you know, it is our duty to actually, why do we use all these affirmations, or why should we use these positive things when we're talking to children? That's because when, say there's a situation, right? So there's any situation that happens, and maybe your child just goes and plays with all this mud and he's got his hands fully dirty, right? So one parent might come and say, so that's the situation. Your child has his hands really dirty. One parent might come and say, oh, wow, you've had a lot of fun. And immediately the feeling, okay, that the child is going to feel, and even the parent, is excitement, right?
Yeah.
And that is coming from the root emotion of love. But on the other hand, you might have a parent who says, oh, my God, what have you done? You've just showered and your hands are dirty again. This is ridiculous, right? Now, that's a very negative thought. And obviously from that negative thought is going to come up an emotion of feeling ashamed, threatened. And all of this is coming from the root of fear.
Yeah.
So, you know, she describes it as simple as that. So that's why as parents, we need to be very intentional, okay? Because we can control thoughts. And it is these thoughts that actually give rise to emotions.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, thoughts are very, very important and we shouldn't take them for granted. I mean, I can give like some really simple examples, you know, of different kinds of fear. Let's just go like really early days now when kids are growing up. You know, I've got a 7-year-old kid, so I can use some of those examples. You know, in his case, I'll give you an example whereby he'd be okay to sleep on his own. Okay. It'd be okay to sleep. And when I put him to sleep, I put him to sleep on his bed and I just sit on the chair or on our own bed. After that, and he sort of, you know, used to put himself to sleep.
Right.
And you'd think that once kids have that, that they're not going to get away from that. I mean, you can only progress as you age. Why would you regress? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can put yourself to sleep, you can put yourself to sleep, right?
Right, right.
But some things happened and, and none of us can sort of put a finger on it until now. He suddenly got that fear to be able to put himself to sleep. And he's not able to articulate why, no matter how supportive we are. And I can't get it out of him, right? No matter what it is. And eventually it came, you know, it came around as, you know, frustrating to a certain extent, because as a parent, you're like, you know, you used to be able to do this.
Right.
You know, what's happening now? But then I suddenly realized, I'm like, hang on a tick. This guy, you know, legitimately can't put himself to sleep right now.
Right.
He's obviously worried about something. He's not able to say what he's worried about. So I'm going to say, you know what? I hear you. I understand. And literally, it's been a month now that I'm with him now until he gets to bed. And he knows that I leave after. He knows that I leave after. But somehow he needs me. And I think, sometimes I think about it and I say, well, is he going to be a teenager and still want me to do that? No, he's not.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
You know, so my notion is, if you don't need to worry about it in 5 years' time, don't make a big deal about it now.
Oh, absolutely.
Give them what they need now.
Yes.
And slowly, slowly, as he matures, he started to realize and say, like today was the first day of blended learning. He said, oh, what if somebody asks me whether I can sleep alone or not? So he obviously felt a little embarrassed that he still can't do it. So it's on his mind. And I'm like, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter, because I love spending time with you.
Yeah.
I love spending time with you, and I'm always here for you until you're ready, whenever you're ready. And I'm very sure in a matter of weeks, he's gonna realize himself out of his own sense of maturity and development, because they develop at different times, right? Because, you know, Daddy, I'm going to try it today.
Yes.
And I'm expecting that.
Yep, absolutely. And I really like what you said, you know, like initially as a parent, you know, you're tempted to say, you were able to sleep and why aren't you sleeping? And if that is the reaction that we have, like if you didn't choose to be very loving and choose to be mindful and be with them, if you chose to tell them, but you were able to sleep, come on, now you can't sleep. If you went down
full
that
disclosure,
way,
I did that though.
Oh, you
I actually
that, right.
did that.
But it didn't
I did
work.
That, but I... But it didn't work. And I had to correct myself.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, as an educator, maybe it was easy for you to correct yourself. But sometimes parents by default would just do that and say, you know, you could sleep. You should go and sleep. And when you do that, exactly what is happening is you're feeding into that fear factor. And that is where the child is getting off centered. So, you know, the more you do that, the more children are going to go off their center and you're going to see a lot of misbehavior. So as parents, it's so important for us to give them that love and that courage and to bring them into that center. You know, it reminds me of an iceberg, right? So when you have an iceberg floating in the sea, it endures every storm. It moves left and right, but it's able to come back to its center and stay strong. And that is what we need to do with children. They are going to go off their center. They're going to have days where they're not going to feel motivated. They're not going to feel happy and positive, and they're not going to be very nice. But that's when they need you the most. That is when we need to really refrain from, you know, shaming them, blaming them, hurting them, but just stopping and say, okay, I'm here for you. Just connect with them, because they need that love, that courage to come back to their own center. And when you keep doing it with them often enough, they internalize that and they learn how to do it themselves.
Yeah, no, I like that. You know, that's a fantastic cue to take from this, is they see how we respond to our own fears, because all of us have fears. We all have everyday fears.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I think we don't have to be superhero mom or dad. I don't think we teach them anything if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't teach them anything if we hide away. I don't mean by explicitly talking about issues that they cannot comprehend. I don't mean that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean by disclosing to them when something worries you or when something's anxious, and then they're able to see, you know what, I'm going to work really hard on this tonight, and I'm sure I'm going to feel better about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then they see you
yes.
come out the other side,
yeah.
you know, yeah. Yeah. of whatever situation it is that you're facing.
Yeah.
That teachable moment is priceless.
Yeah,
they need we need to have these open conversations, these transparent conversations with children about what we're going through and what about our fears are as well.
Oh,
so
yes.
So that they can see that there is a path,
mm-hmm.
You know, out of that emotion as in when I face it.
Yeah, and the only way out of it is by accepting and acknowledging that emotion, which is why I really like that connect to correct. And, you know, it happens so often. Like, you know, I've seen, with my own kids, my younger daughter is really scared of cockroaches. And, you know, when I tell her, come on, don't be scared of cockroaches, it's not addressing the situation. And that's what we do as parents. We say, don't be scared. You know, come on, you're such a big girl. Don't be scared. What's there? The cockroach is such a little thing. But instead of just brushing it off and saying, don't be scared, I think we need to make these moments teachable moments and connect and just say, right, you're scared of cockroaches? And she said, yes, I am. Okay, what is it about that? What is it about a cockroach that you're scared of? And, you know, that is helping a parent go deeper into, you know, I like to look at behavior as an iceberg. And, you know, the top little bit that you look at is the behavior. So in this case, say she was scared of cockroaches. And if I just say, come on, don't be scared of cockroaches, it is not teaching her anything. It is not solving anything. But as a parent, if you delve deep inside that invisible part of the iceberg, you might get a perspective about why or what is making her scared of cockroaches. Yeah. It could be a statement I made. It could be when she was 3 years old, I brought a cockroach to scare her as a game. I might have said, oh, look, cockroaches. I might have just said something like that has preconditioned her. So there might be some thought, some need deep inside. And that's where we need to go. You know, to get rid of these fears, because fears are going to give rise to misbehavior.
Yeah. I think when they're younger as well, it's good to make fun. It's good to sort of do a fun thing out of it, you know, as much as possible. If kids are basically saying, I'm scared, or I'm scared of the dark, or I don't want to go to the bathroom on my own, or whatever it is, you know, instead of asking them to, you know, grow up, you should be able to. There's nothing there. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean there's nothing there? Obviously, your kid thinks there's something there. Obviously, my kid thinks there's something there. So, you know, once I had, I said, okay, you know, I'm going to activate my night vision goggles and we're going to go through this, you know, the zone between the room and the bathroom. We're going to go through it together. You know, hang on to me. And then we're going to woo, woo. Okay, one laser, duck under the laser, go over the laser. And suddenly you take the mind away from, you know, that subject, so to speak. And I mean, it's just making it a little bit of fun.
Yes.
And at the same time, they get into that laughter and they enjoy it. And then they're in a much safer space to be able to sleep as well.
Yes.
Right?
You know, it was very interesting. I was just listening. I can't remember who I was listening to. And there was a question raised by one of these parenting experts who said, when it comes to children, what is it that really matters. Mm. And just now, you know, when you told me you put on those goggles and you went through that dark and you made it like a fun experience, what really matters is building bonds with children. Mm. And, you know, this goes back to some scientific explanation where, you know, when you're building bonds with children, either by having fun, either by giving them a hug, either by connecting with them, what the brain is doing is actually releasing oxytocin. And we all know that oxytocin just makes us feel better, right?
Shireen, everything works when we have trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed? So today, if you're going to get, if you're going to go bungee jumping, or you're going to go skydiving, you're going to check the Google reviews of the company, you know, everybody's raved about it. There's a certain trust factor. You know they're reputed. And you go ahead and do it. You literally put your life in somebody else's hands.
Yep.
And you do it. So I feel, you know, these fun things that you were talking about with, you know, the oxytocin, the relationships, the bond and everything, it all comes down to trust.
Oh, yep.
And if we continue to love, and if we continue to create environments where we convert the currency of fear to the currency of love.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. As all the references that we've been making earlier, then what builds? Trust builds?
Of course.
That means I can trust this person. I can trust this adult to make me feel better.
Yes.
And eventually, when this adult asks you, scaffolded, after a couple of weeks or a month, say, look, we've set all of this up for you together. Let me know when you think you're ready. You're a trustworthy person. Has said, let me know when you think you're ready. Now, you have weight.
Yep.
Oh, yes. You have weight because you've constantly been there. And when you've constantly been there, so let's say a driving teacher has always been there and you're always scared of driving and they've always been there. And then the driving teacher says, you know, in the next lesson, I think you're going to be ready.
Yep.
Now, you're going to be like, are you sure? Are you serious, Simon? I'm like, yeah, I've seen you. We've been through 10 lessons together. I think you trust the teacher.
Yes.
Right?
So it's all coming from that. Yes, it's trust, love. You know, it's all coming from being centered. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to do for our children. Teach them to be centered. Because when they are centered, they're going to be self-regulating, self-correcting, self-monitoring. They're going to be those selfie kids that you want them to be. Versus when you have experiences where you're threatening, you're nagging, you're ordering. You know, when you're doing, the worst thing to have is to have your child have a lot of cortisol release in his body because learning shuts down, relationships, you know, get completely, I would say, that, you know, there are no bonds in the relationships. So I think really as parents, every time there is a situation, you really have that one moment to decide whether your thought, you know, your reaction is going to be one that is going to help your child to be centered and it's coming out of a space of love, or your reaction is coming from a space of fear, and that fear-based parenting is going to create children which are going to be very negative, tense, angry, unhappy, because it's scientific. They do have then a cortisol release, you know, in their brain.
Yeah.
And so, we have control over that.
Yes, yes, we do. You know, back to what I think we mentioned this earlier as well. Sometimes when we don't acknowledge the fear, we say to them, let's say, what am I, first year of school. Okay, let's say first year of school. Oh, you're a big girl. You're a big boy. You'll be fine. Okay, I'm just trying to imagine. You got a kid that's worried. Kid is sitting there with a backpack and looking anxious. And then you tell the kid, you're a big girl. You'll be fine.
Yes.
I don't think 99% of the time, you're going to see that face change. They're going to feel like, I'm a big girl. Like, how big?
Exactly.
You suddenly made it, we've suddenly made it so much more bigger than their little bodies and their emotions can even handle.
Yes, because you have not you have not connected with them. You
What would they need? I mean,
All they would need is for you to go down at their level and just give them that hug, which is an oxytocin release.
Yes,
and just tell them you're scared. Right. Okay. What is scaring you? I'm here with you.
Talk them through.
And if you don't know what to say, you know, sometimes parents don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And when you don't know what to say, the magic is a hug, because hugs release oxytocin. Just hug and wait for a few seconds and children will calm down. And then once they're centered, they will speak to you. But if they are threatened and ashamed and scared, they cannot speak to you, because then, you know, they have this cortisol release and their brains are not going to be able to think, you know, that logical part stops. So it's as simple as that. Just love kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, it sounds easy. But, you know, the talking them through as a parent, we already know, right, Shireen, the certain things that usually worry them, even though they don't say it, we kind of have an idea.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like as if, you know, preparing children, the day before, and then on the way to school in a fun way, whether we sing a song about it. So let's say they worry about certain steps that they need to take: step one, step two, step three. Okay. So we talk about it after dinner, and we write it down in a way that they can remember. And you're like, you know what? Tomorrow on the way to work, on the way to school, we're gonna sing a song about these steps together. And we'll make it really, really fun, right?
Yep.
So we're going to sing step one, da-da-da, we're going to have lots of fun. Step two,
you're
going to open up your snack and eat your bun.
Yeah.
Step three, don't run. No, I'm just joking. I'm making things up on the fly. But but you get the idea, right? So you sing a song and you're having a moment together.
You know, just
and then when you reach down and you hug them, you're like, step one, step two, step three.
Yes. You know, Richard, that is it. I really can't remember who I was listening to when I told you, you know, when he said, what is it that really matters? And the one answer to that entire workshop was just building a bond with your child, whether it's singing a song. And you spoke about preparing children, you know, that's a very, very big thing, not only when they're kids, like, you know, my daughters are young adults, and my younger one just went to university, and she told me she was in London, right outside her university, on the street, broad daylight, and in front of her, somebody just went past the bicycle and tried to snatch the phone of a friend who she was walking with. Yeah. And she said, you know, you hear about these things, you hear about getting mugged, and you hear about all these things. But when you see it in front of your eyes, it's a different experience. And of course, obviously, they were scared. You know, there's this fear. But then this is where, you know, instead of saying, don't do that, don't use your phone. And, you know, that's our immediate reaction. You know, you should be careful. You shouldn't use your phone. You shouldn't do this. This country's not. No, I feel, you know, we need to step back, be a little more mindful, and just prepare them. You know, these things happen. You can use your phone, but you need to know how to use it. So it's just reframing what you say, showing them, like you said, you know, you trust them, building a bond when you speak, using positive language, just everything that creates, that brings them back from fear into their center, where they feel courage, love, trust, you know, all of those positive emotions.
You know, it's respecting them, that they are able to, under circumstances, you know, be able to, they're able to think for themselves. As long as they're given the tools, you know, if you like, to be able to sort that stuff out as well, to be able to look through a situation, to be able to, you know, walk through it.
Oh, yes.
It's quite important.
Yeah. And, you know, just before we maybe wind up this session, you know, we need to remember as parents that, you know, behavior is a symptom. It's not the cause of what a child is doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, know, yeah. So, you know, just, I mean, you go to the doctor, you've got a sore throat, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how sore it is or what you're feeling, but he is going to treat the root of the infection, right? For your sore throat to go away. And this is what we need to remember. Let's not just try and address the behavior that we see, it's easier mm-hmm. to address it because we see it. It's easier to say, no, don't do this. Don't carry your phone. Yeah. You know, don't be scared. Don't be a kid. It's easier to address that. But mm-hmm. I think it's a good reminder for us and everyone listening out there, you know, go deeper, delve in and see what is deep inside so you can bring out that courage and that love and see what is missing. What's the fear? What's the missing need? You know, feed that so automatically the behavior that you see is going to be a lot more, you know, it's a lot more centered. And of course, a child will definitely show you a lot more courage.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. No, love the analogy. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yep. So okay. Moving on, Shireen, would we like to read the rear side of the card and give our concluding statements?
Yes, I'm going to read the card on courage. Heart, be brave. If you cannot be brave, just go. Love's glory is not a small thing. Jalaluddin Rumi. The practice of courage. I reach beyond my comfort zone. I welcome new challenges. I do what I know is right, regardless of the costs. I face the truth with humility and openness. I don't allow my fears to hold me back. I fully accept life's invitations. I'm thankful for the gift of courage. It allows me to spread my wings.
Yeah, I love that. I look at this from a parental point of view. Of course, we spoke a lot about the relationship between parent and child. But when we look at it, we spoke, I think, at the top of the program about how we can be role models by having open conversations about the issues that we may be facing and how we're able to come out of it. And our children need to be able to see that. And I feel, you know, courage allowing me to spread my wings, being open to life's invitations, and facing the truth, I guess, with humility and openness. I love those things because problems are going to be there. They're going to keep coming. Yeah. And there's nothing like us being able to share it at the developmental level of the child, of course.
Of course.
Talk about it as a family. Yes. Because there are going to be times that, you know, our kids are going to venture out of this nest.
They are
going to be on their own. Mm-hmm. And whatever experiences that they have, mm-hmm. They are going to take that with them. So we always need to think about it and say, right, you know, if they're going to be facing this when they have their own home, how are they going to be responding to these kind of situations? And I feel like, you know, if it allows me to spread my wings, I don't mean that every time we need to do it just because we need to teach them. Mm-hmm. But in the process of teaching them, the byproduct is we all have a wonderful relationship. So why wouldn't we want that?
Absolutely. And when you're talking about empty nests, I have an empty nest. Both my children have are now not with me. And truly, you know, I really resonate with what you said. And yes, you know, when you give your children the gift of courage, you are really giving them those roots and those wings to fly, because wherever they are, you're miles away. You have to trust that they will have the courage to make the right decisions and to do the right things. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really hope that everybody enjoyed the program today.
Yes.
And again, I know things can be tough, but you know, we have these discussions here so that we can be a little bit more open in our families, have wonderful relationships. And again, if you've got any feedback, ideas, suggestions, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us.
Yes, and don't forget to catch the courage in your children, right?
So yes.
The next time you're interacting with them, catch the courage and connect with them. Tell them what they've been courageous about, because it's going to go a long way.
Use the language, my friends. And again, find us on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Go Virtues. Or if you want to have a look at all the past episodes really quickly, go to govirtues.com and the whole list of episodes is there as well. So until next time, take care, everyone. God
bless. See you, everyone. Well, bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.